For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttle Bucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttle Bucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go with the Scuttlebucks. Great to have you along. I'm Jeff, that's Tom, and let's talk about another Bucks loss, shall we? Dive right in there. At least this one gave you a riveting end.
That was a pretty good football game from start to finish.
It was a real good football game. I think what stinks is that all of us watching said football game, while perhaps momentarily lying to ourselves and trying to convince ourselves of the possibility that they come out of Seattle, of all places, with a victory, knew deep down that that was not going to go our way, that it wasn't going to happen.
So even at 21-7, if you had this the meters like they do for political speeches or debates or whatever, and you could see like the red line and the blue line and the white line, if we just had a pewter line on the TV, so you got a gray, it wouldn't have gotten more than 3 millimeters from the bottom of your television screen, even when the Bucks were up 21-7. Because you know it's Russell Wilson and it's our defense.
Well, and they mismanaged the end of the half situation Tampa did. So when you watch that play out, you're going, okay. You're going to give them an opportunity for some free points here, then by all means.
So that one is a close decision because they have their full complement of timeouts to Seattle, but you don't volunteer one with 2:43 to go on the clock.
No.
You let that thing run down as far as Seattle wants to take it down before they punt, and guess what? If you're lucky and they're stupid, and there's a lot of stupid around in the NFL.
It happens all the time, every week.
It's going to clear the two-minute warning by the time the punt is downed. I would instruct my punt returner not to catch it in that situation.
Let it bounce around.
Because we get on the other side of the two-minute warning, and then we have options. If we get a first down,
now
we're
let's ratchet it up. If
let's
not
volunteer that and call a pass. I mean, well, at that point, if you're going to call
it's the
a timeout
miss,
before
the
two-minute
warning. It's the mismanagement of plays which lead to, you know, and you know it. You can see it playing out. We do it every week.
But the worst one's the second half.
Yeah,
I mean, we forget about that because the guy missed it. And, you know, how many times have we seen a kicker miss multiple kicks against us? That hardly ever happens.
And a chip shot at that.
I mean, Bruce,
I need
this is a personal appeal. Dude, get your phone out of your golf cart cubby and call somebody who can manage the clock at the end of the game. Outsource it, please.
Well, and I dare say you could bring that point up to a number of really successful coaches in both pro and college. I mean, we see it every week in both pro and college that these guys, sharp as they may be, as successful as they may be, routinely F up the end of football games with clock management. It's unbelievable.
His track record is his track record. He has an unbelievable career in the league, but I think one of his strengths is that he's willing to delegate. This is one more task, man. He has an NFL official, a former official, in his headset telling him when to challenge or when he has a case to do so.
By the way, that's a disaster. I'm not talking about us doing what we're doing. There is no such thing as a good time to challenge, apparently, especially if it involves interference. You're not going to get it.
Correct. It might be Mike Carey that he hired, but still, like that thinking is the right kind of thinking.
Right.
And so outsource one other dude to have a headset that says, Coach, no timeout. Don't be an idiot. Coach, timeout. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot timeout, Coach. You could pay him $5,000
a week. Well, you have the get back guy. You can have a don't be an idiot guy. Coach, you don't want to do that. What are you doing? Stop that. Put your hands down. We're not calling timeout here.
I feel like Gilbert Gottfried would be good in that role.
Oh, no. You can only hear that so many times in your head.
But it would snap you out of whatever days you're in when you're calling timeouts or rushing to the line of scrimmage, the one freaking yard line.
It would very much be like an alarm clock, yes.
Coach, Russell Wilson!
Oh, see, I'm already...
You know?
No, we don't.
Don't give him time.
Everybody in that stadium and everybody back home in Tampa Bay knew exactly how that was going to play out. And, you know, by the way, can I just say, because I do feel like a woe is me moment here, just because we are such diehard fans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and we're both from the area. Did anybody in their right mind believe we were going to win that coin toss? It's 50-50, but nobody. It felt like you had a 5% chance of winning that coin toss. You knew it because it was death if you didn't. It was instant death if you didn't win the coin toss, and everybody knew it. There's no chance you're going to get a stop.
Well, even still, you talk about 50-50. It's a 50-50 pass on that third down, but you know the dude's butt cheek is going to land in bounds.
It's going to land in bounds.
Of course it will.
Play. Yeah. No, but I'm telling you, as soon as they walked out there to flip that coin, my wife laughed at me. I go, well, we got no shot at this. She goes, well, Jeff, you know the math, don't you? And I'm like, oh, don't patronize me. Yes, I know. But I know damn well, as a Bucs fan, we've got almost 0% chance. You want a sure thing? Have it go against the Bucs, guaranteed.
I'd just like to be in the mind of an NFL quarterback going against our secondary, because this has to be what they all think at some point in the game. Well, I got Hargraves over there.
Mm-hmm. That's who I'm throwing at.
I could throw to the tight end anytime I want. And this particular week for Russell, extra one.
Yeah.
I love you, God. Secondly, Jamel Dean. I've got him.
I got him.
I got Hargraves. Yeah. Who do I want to distribute the ball to make him feel better? This is about me building morale more than it is making the right decision, because these are all right decisions.
All right decisions, no wrong answers, and probably moments to give praise as he's wont to do even more. Because when you look up and see those are your options, they're bountiful, Tom. It's like Thanksgiving. And you want to thank God for that many options as you get to the line of scrimmage. Can you imagine that I have all of these options at my disposal? Not one, not two, not something that they're taking away. They're not zeroing in on that. Nope. A bounty. An endless bounty of choices for me to walk up to this line of scrimmage and say, well, who hasn't had the pill in a while? Better get him one. Better get him one.
I don't need to worry about it, though, because he'll be open.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't get home, because they don't.
It's like when you're playing with your friends and you've got a mismatch on the playground because Fat Tony cannot cover Jack. So you say, Jack, I'm throwing to you. And then the other guys in your huddle go, man, I haven't got a ball yet. Well, listen, Tony's on Jack. That fat ass can't cover anybody. We're throwing it to him until they move somebody over there. That's the option. Every time teams face the Bucks, they go, well, what do you want me to do? I've got so many choices.
There are so many amendments.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
So here's an interesting stat that leads to the quandary that Bowles must be facing every single week. Mm-hmm. And this is from NFL Next Gen Stats, mm-hmm. the ones that do like the player tracking. You see those animations of like the X's and O's come to life. The Buccaneers blitzed Russell Wilson on 76% of his dropbacks. This is the highest blitz rate in a game in the Next Gen Stats era, and that started in 2016. So 3+ seasons. The highest percentage ever. Wilson, in those situations, finished 19 of 32 for 221 yards and 3 touchdowns against the blitz, having been pressured just 5 times on 35 blitz pressures.
5 times.
5 times they actually got home to affect the quarterback. That's a 14% clip. So you say, why the hell are we projecting and why the hell are we blitzing so often if a quarterback is going to slice and dice us? Well, here's the quandary. When they didn't blitz him, I subtracted those numbers from his game total. When we didn't bring pressure, he went 10 of 11 for 157 yards and 2 touchdowns. So which do you want? We're between a rock and a hard place. Those numbers are awful that we get home 5 out of 35 blitzes.
It's brutal.
But if we don't, he's 10 of 11 for 150 and 2 scores. So, I mean, we are literally screwed unless some kind of pressure gets home with either 4 or more.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated at this point, man. I am so I feel like, listen, I don't want to shortchange the Scuttlebucks podcast or our listeners, but if you can't tell, I'm just beaten down at this point. I mean, when Jameis plays well and the offense is thriving, we do something to screw up and cost the team the game. And I mean on offense. I mean something will happen that will disrupt the apple cart, like Dotson bumping into you, as you're trying to go back. I mean, right. Just of course that happened. Of course that happened.
At live speed, I wasn't sure.
Oh, at live speed, I thought it just came out of his hand.
You got to be kidding
me. Well, and I wanted to hug him. I literally wanted to reach through the TV and hug him and go, listen, man, I'm trying, buddy, but you can't do that because there. But then when we saw the replay, and good job tweeting that out on you.
Oh, thanks.
I saw that, and I'm glad you did it because I was at a restaurant watching the game. I couldn't hear, and I was at a distance, so it was tough for me to tell. When you tweeted that out, I went, oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so the first time they showed the replay, it was at full speed, so you couldn't see it. And honestly, given Jameis' history,
right, you just
given the Oregon fumble we've seen.
No, just given that it's unlucky, it's just the kind of thing that happens to him.
And all of the surrounding details, like they show him on the sideline, he's inconsolable. I'm going, oh, my God, he did drop the damn thing.
He just dropped the damn ball.
But what I like to do during commercial breaks, and here's a tip for you if you don't want to switch to red zone during your favorite team's game, Saturdays or Sundays, use your DVR in those moments and go back and watch plays and learn something. Like, watch them for a second or third time on the fly, and you can learn a little bit more about what you just watched at live speed. So I was going to go back and watch that again to see if I could learn. But thankfully, Fox did a very slow-motion replay of the interaction before they went to their commercial break after Seattle went down and kicked the field goal. And that's what I saw. I was like, oh, it's a bump. It doesn't make me feel any better because we're going to lose this game. We could have gone up a touchdown there, and I think we might actually – that would have been the first time, not 21-7.
Yeah.
I would have believed
we would have
won the football
game,
at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, we can't have nice things.
Black Friday shopping has already kicked off at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years, Tom.
Maybe we can have nice things.
Nice things. There you go. Lease a new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT for $287 per month and 0% financing is available on many vehicles, including the new 2019 Ford Ranger. Shop and get all the details now at BillCurryFord.com. Black Friday offers expire December the 2nd. That's December the 2nd. So you got a lot of time. Or go to BillCurryFord.com. Yeah, so, I mean, the way that I anticipate the bottom falling out in every one of these games is actually relatively new. And if you're listening to this, you'd say, what? What do you mean? No, I only recently got so jaded that as I watch these games, I'm actually thinking of the ways this is going to go wrong. You know how we all do the thing in football where There are key numbers in football, right? You know this if you're a gambler, and I'm a degenerate. So we all know key numbers. So you're looking at those key numbers, and you're going, oh, this is a one-point loss. I can see this coming right now. So when you're up 27-14, you see 28-27 day long. You know how it's going to end, right? So it's frustrating because you could just you've already played it out. But now I do it for every situation. I can find any situation now. Tampa Bay could be up by 35 points, and I have figured out a way, even counting possessions, that we're going to lose that game.
Oh, brother, okay, so the last time I felt a sigh of relief, I let one out, was the Giants game when we get up three scores. Three scores is the most important thing in the world, especially in the NFL. 17 points you can get there? Oh, it's like you sit back in your beach chair and you just watch the sun.
Unless you're watching the Bucks and the Rams and then you're holding your breath and even though you've scored 55 points. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So the Giants game, the aforementioned, you score on all six of your possessions in the first half. I'm thinking, okay, well, times are good. We even hit like a 50 however many yarder from Gay just before the halftime. But then they go down and they score in their first possession, first play from scrimmage
and
in the second half.
And it's the one thing that can't happen that gets them back into the game. It's the one thing.
They could go on a 10-play drive.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it wouldn't matter.
You don't have enough time, guys.
But
you don't have enough possessions.
It's a splash and a three and out. And you go, oh, Jesus.
Okay. Oh, no. I got up and walked outside. My wife's like, the Bucs are killing him. What are you doing? You look disgusted. I'm like, I know what's about to happen here. Everybody in Tampa Bay does. The second they scored quickly and then we did nothing, I went, oh, here it comes.
Given the way the offense played this weekend, I'd argue that the moment the game was over is when Carlton Davis pulls up lame in pregame.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we like to rag on Dean, but he was told 20, 30 minutes before kickoff, see you out there, buddy. You got DK Metcalf all day. And when you don't, you got Tyler Lockett all day.
Yeah, good luck with that,
buddy.
And
he was prepared to come in for, you know, giving somebody a breather for 5 and 6. Not even that. I think he had 3 reps all season long before this game. So I can't hang it on him. But if Carlton Davis is out there, maybe we get the one stop we need. Reminds me of the Knowles game years ago up here where they played Georgia Tech in 2009. Punted one time and lost. That's what that game feels like.
Yeah, but every week feels that way is the difference. Every week, you're like, you really can't. You have to optimize. We're going to have Lee DeKemper on. I want to talk about this. But, I mean, I feel like Jameis has to play perfect every week.
Yeah.
I feel like he has to go in, and I mean that. And I think that
God forbid he turns the ball over a bunch.
Oh, Jesus, you're going to hear about it 47 times. But here's what I'm going to tell you, though.
Well, but you're going to get blown out, too.
Well, that's true, but what I'm saying is that I really do think that has an effect on any quarterback, not just Jameis. We see guys in these situations from time to time where you're like, buddy, you can't have an empty possession because your defense is not going to get stops. So the pressure you feel every possession to make something happen leads one to press. Now, he played well in this game, so I'm not talking about this game in particular.
Yeah, he made one net poor decision, and that was the Perryman touchdown, and the other one he got unlucky on. So it was about justice was kind of
came out that, Yeah, that was a bad decision, which he rarely makes bad decisions, actually, when he's out of the pocket like that.
No,
left or right. I couldn't believe he made that throw. I went, what are you doing? But anyhow, it'll add to his out-of-pocket good statistic, because even though it didn't, shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't, but it will. But that's fine.
Because Scotty Miller took one off the board.
Well, and he gets screwed anyhow, because any tip ball gets picked. Anyone, ever. It's unbelievable.
So Scotty Miller screws him later in the game.
Of course he does.
And that holding call, I'm sorry. Listen, we were getting held all effing day. And if you look at the key throw on third down and overtime, Vita Vea is being held precisely identically.
In the same way.
The same way as when Jameis scrambles for the touchdown on the drive where we have to settle for
by
three.
The way, that was a nice scramble. He showed the college moves there. He showed speed and strength and vision and all that.
You just want people, even if it's the defense that fights for a day, you want them to be rewarded with a win for playing well. Whoever it is, but we aren't ever.
If they're still fighting and they play hard here, they should win this weekend. They should. I mean, that's a god-awful Arizona team. But yet, again, if you want to talk about the status of the Buccaneer franchise, who amongst us is walking into that stadium going, I like our chances to get a win here today? You don't know. You don't know. You feel like it's coin flip.
We could.
Oh, we could.
We certainly could.
I wouldn't be stunned if we did. But, you know, most of us are kind of like, if we lose, not all that shocking. That's where we're at. Arizona, sorry ass. That's where we're at.
Yeah, I know. Well, when you look at the pressure rates, if we're going to blitz on 76%. We only get home on 14% of those blitzes. Are you better off playing a shell? I don't know. Bowles must just be spinning in his own head this entire season.
Well, I think you got to mix it up. I think you got to do both.
I've got the best of something. The best of something in this league.
Well, and that's why I am a little frustrated with him, because I understand lacking in personnel. But I'm sorry, if you step on the field already having limited the other team's choice to the passing game solely, you ought to have more success.
And that's speaking in general, because Carson did have a good day against our defense. Although Devin White looks better. I don't know if it's the hit against the kicker or what.
It's two of the last three games he's played better. He's been more instinctive. The speed of the game is now, he's adjusted. Remember, he got hurt. So we're going back now. It's his rookie season. He also got hurt. And now I think he's really adapted to the speed of the game. I was not as panicked as Joe was, Joe Bucks fan, earlier this year. You don't do that to rookies. You let them get acclimated to the speed. The speed is everything. We hear that from quarterbacks all the time.
And the injury sets you back in week two.
Right. And we know, and that's what I'm saying. He got hurt. So we know that's true at other positions. We always hear about it with quarterback, but with linebacker, it's true. I think it's true with corners and receivers. I do. You see that. So you wanted to kind of hold off and let the year play out before you gave sweeping generalizations about what he is or is not going to be. I actually think he's going to be good.
Well, the one thing I will say, though, is obviously Lavonte David is worth his weight.
Oh, he's played exceptionally well,
Because he puts Devin in the right gap consistently. Now, remember, Bruce said in the preseason, well, he's unbelievable because he can call the defense. Maybe he can call the play, but then the adjustments necessary.
Yeah.
He's looking at 54 a lot for help.
Good.
Like,
why wouldn't you? The guy's been in the league forever. Let's go.
I know, but in terms of overstating.
Well, that's our guy.
I'm glad that dude's not my mechanic, because if he told me that, my brake line was fixed, I would go get a new car. You know where I'd go? I'd go to Bill Curry Ford, because Bucks fans, prices are at the Bill Curry Ford off of Dale Mabry, just north of the stadium, are better than good. They're the best.
Yeah.
And it's all backed by their $5,000 best price guarantee. Get shopping now at BillCurryFord.com or at the easy-to-get-to aforementioned showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. And don't forget their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Mention Scuttlebucks or Joe Bucks Fan. General Manager Sean Sullivan, who has supported my program for a year plus, this program for this season, he's going to get you an extra special discount.
I feel like Sean Sullivan wants to support the Jeff Cameron Show as well in Tallahassee, Florida.
I think he would.
He's that kind of guy. He's a stand-up guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. My girlfriend had an experience with a competitor's dealer.
Yeah.
But the prices here in Tallahassee, they can raise them. They can gouge you a little bit, because there aren't multiple dealerships in the designated market area.
So you may want to take a
go
and see my guy down there.
So she went down to St. Pete to go get the same car for $5,000 less.
Thanks to Sean Sullivan.
I'll bet we could send some Tallahassee folk down to Bill Curry Ford.
There you go. All right. Onward with the Scuttlebucks when we return. Lita Kipper, JoeBucksFan.com.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And as the Van Halen suggests, it's time to talk to our friend Lee DeKemper of the website JoeBucksFan.com. Lee, hello, sir. Always appreciate your time.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. And no joy in Mudville down here in Tampa, although we're trying to keep positive spin. But reality is a female dog, as we all know.
Yeah, it's tough. I thought something interesting I read on JoeBucksFan.com that you have been listening. You've been tapping into a little Arizona sports talk radio lately, and you were kind of mining there to find out maybe the reasons that Arians quit and left Arizona. I think it's fascinating that he would want to stick it to Arizona, suggesting that he's a little bitter about his time there?
Definitely. You know, it crossed my mind. Even though he often says, hey, you know, I love Steve Keim, I like Michael Bidwell, he has nothing but positive things to say about the Cardinals. But then the people he used to work with, Ron Wolfley being among them, seems to imply by what he's talking about that Arians wants to stick it to the Cardinals. That just seems very odd. It's almost, obviously Arians spent a lot more time in Arizona than he has thus far in Tampa Bay. So I would guess they know him better than we do. So that's very interesting that they would say that. Like, that's odd that why would he want to stick it to a franchise that he supposedly really liked. Who knows what the answer is? I don't know, but I'm like you. That kind of jumped out at me. That was rather odd.
How did Tampa? Let's go back to the game that was. What was the general consensus about this last game against Seattle? I never expected in a million years the Bucs would be in the game, and I thought that so maybe because I went into it with really low expectations and knowing how good Russell Wilson is and how bad our secondary is. I kind of just figured they'd put up whatever numbers they wanted, and it'd be too much for Tampa Bay to overcome. But Jameis played pretty well, not spectacular, but well, and they did obviously move the football and give themselves a chance to win the game. And once again, the defense cost this team the game. But I didn't bother. I'm at the point now with Tampa being as bad as they are to really dive into the deep end as to what folks down there were saying and what people around the organization were saying this past week after that loss to Seattle.
Well, most people were like you initially, like, oh, boy, this is going to be a beatdown. It's going to be a two-touchdown minimum blowout. It's ugly. Let's worry about the draft. Let's not try to win. And then as the late, great Chris Thomas, which I know you guys are familiar with.
Yeah.
The late, great Thomas would say, here come the short-term investment brokers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the guys like Warren Sharp, guys came out and they were like saying, this is the upset of the week, the Bucks, and how they broke it down. The Bucks run defense, Seattle's run offense. The fact that Brian Schottenheimer loathes the pass and loves the run and won't stop running no matter what, and the Bucks have this great pass defense, and Seattle's secondary is weak, and the Bucks can throw the ball, and they were making a point that don't look past the Bucks here, and that started getting people interested. People were saying, "Well, I don't expect the Bucks to win. Maybe they have a puncher's chance." And then as the game went on, they were leading, they were right in the game, and then people got sucked up by it, and the Bucks, being the Bucks, they let everybody down at the end. And pretty much the consensus here from just about anybody you talk to, whether it be fans, whether it be fellow media members, whether it be people with the team, the secondary. And what's really shameful is last week prior to the game, NFL Films does some big pile stats. And they have a stat about quarterback disruption, they call it, quarterback disruption. It factors in sacks, it factors in hits, it factors in pressures. And, of course, pressure, that's a subjective stat. Anyway. For the first time all season, the Bucs were in the top 10 in quarterback disruptions. I have to believe that was because JPP buoyed the entire pass rush the previous game. So here you have the Bucs pass defense doing pretty well. The run defense clearly is elite, excellent. I mean, you can't complain about that. And the Bucks know, which every defensive coach wants to do, they want to turn an offense one-dimensional. They all know it's coming. Everybody knows it's coming, and they still can't stop the pass. It's really, from a Bucks fan's perspective, it's beyond frustrating. It's appalling, actually.
Is the heat starting to get turned up on Todd Bowles for this?
A little bit. And it was not so much Todd Bowles. It's the front office that's been catching heat. Because the front office, the last 4 years, last four drafts, the Bucks have spent 7 draft picks in the first 3 rounds on defensive backs. And yet, year after year, it's not bad. It gets worse. We thought last year was horrible. It's worse this year. Teams, even though the Bucks last year were on a trajectory for the worst pass, or excuse me, just the worst defense in NFL history in 100 years of the NFL, teams are passing 22% more on the Bucks this year than they were last year. That's how rotten this is. So actually, it's not so much Bowles, because people are like saying, well, you know, Bowles has an excellent run defense. Bowles has developed a pass rush. But where's the, you know, but the pass defense is just the opposite. It's not so much Bowles. People are saying, well, you know, Bowles is doing some good things. He's not doing an excellent job, but it's not so much Bowles. Instead, people are putting heat on the front office. You know, all these draft picks you've had the last 4 years, and that's not counting Jordan Whitehead. It was a 4th-round pick. That's not even counting him. All these draft picks they've had in the secondary in the past 4 years, what do you have? You're not better. You're worse. And it gets worse every year. And so people are saying, why didn't you go out at the trade deadline?
Okay, that's where I was going.
Just a competent defensive back.
Well, Lee, I wanted to go there. I'm glad you went there, because if you recall, a number of weeks ago we were talking, and I thought I did kind of ask you, I wanted to know where we were at from a salary cap standpoint and what we could do, because I knew, obviously, there were going to be opportunities there. Now, you sit around every weekend and watch a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick making a difference in the secondary for the Steelers.
Thank you.
And you're thinking to yourself, okay, I mean, there were guys to be had that could have helped this team, and I didn't know at the time, were they just completely handcuffed from being able to go do that or not, and how that was received down there, because you can't continue to watch this product. You just described it aptly, that they are dominant in the run game, and you've got a dominant front, and now that JPP's back and looks healthy and is ready to go, you're getting pressure on the passer. Your secondary cannot continue to be this kind of albatross that gives you no chance to win football games. None.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always argued about Jameis. People say they want to get rid of Jameis. Jameis, that I keep telling people, Dan Marino in his prime couldn't win games with this pass defense. I mean, James, here's a perfect example of Seattle game. For the Bucs to have a prayer of winning, Jameis has to play perfect. At Los Angeles, he wasn't perfect. He was very good. He wasn't perfect. He made one mistake, and even though the Bucs put up 47 points on offense, that was still a close game until the final minute when Sue had the scoop and score. That put the game away. This past Sunday, at Seattle, Jameis makes one mistake, and technically it wasn't his mistake.
Yeah,
Donovan Smith ran into the
ball.
So technically, it wasn't Jameis' mistake, but okay. Jameis fumbled the ball. One mistake. One mistake led to a loss. So that secondary is that bad. So basically, I don't care who the quarterback is, the guy has to be absolutely perfect for this team to have a prayer. The secondary is that bad.
Well, and there's a weight that comes with that, and I think you see it sometimes. I think sometimes he still tries to do too much. I think you see it wash over his face sometimes, the expression, the look, the knowledge that we're going to lose again because we can't get stops, and I'm going to have to throw for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns for us to have a chance, and that wears
on
you. Yeah? Well.
Yeah, I mean, Arians this year said the same thing that Cutter said, that Jameis thinks every time he gets the ball, he has to be Superman. He's got to make a play. Well, no kidding. When the kickoff starts, he thinks he's got to get 35, 40 points to have the team to have a prayer of winning. No kidding. I mean, come on. What quarterback wouldn't think that?
Yeah, so we're going to just, sit back now and continue to monitor this and watch them lose 10 games this year or more and then hope like hell that they solve their problems in the offseason yet again in that secondary?
You sure hope so. And I'm glad you brought Minkah Fitzpatrick earlier, because I was watching the, thanks to the magic of NFL Sunday Ticket, I was watching the Colts Steelers game. And Fitzpatrick just took over that game. And here was a guy that could have been ahead for a first-round pick. And I put that out on Twitter. I said, for a first-round pick, the Bucs could have had a stud safety on a rookie contract. Why did he step up? I have no clue. And then someone came at me like, oh, you'd have to spend a first-round pick. I'm like, hello? If Minkah Fitzpatrick re-entered the 2020 draft, there's no question he'd be worth a first-round pick. What are you talking about? Well, when you see things like that, when you see, although I wrote about this, although there's no question the guy is a knucklehead, Marcus Peters could have been had for a box of stale donuts. Again, I know Marcus Peters is a knucklehead, but you're trying to tell me he can't play better than Jamel Dean? Give me a break. So there were opportunities out there to upgrade the secondary, and for whatever reason, I have no clue why, the Bucs should pass.
Well, they made
their own bed.
Yeah, that's what I've been wondering. I mean, I haven't heard an answer. I don't know if it's been asked, but Jason Light, somebody, nobody has said why it was they chose not to make a move when there were guys to be had that are proven commodities with real upside, and you're talking about giving away draft picks. Well, obviously, you've misused the draft picks, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You gave away seven in the last 4 years, basically.
Yeah, let's go. Always a pleasure, Lee. Pleasure is the word I'm trying to find. Be well, buddy.
And I hope people go to BillCurryFort.com as our sponsor, the great guy, Sean Sullivan, the general manager. You talk to Sean Sullivan, he will give you a JewelBucksFan.com discount. That's no joke. And if nothing else, go talk Bucks football with us.
I love talking
Bucks football.
I love it. Well done. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Bye. Yeah, Tom, you and I talked about it at the time, too. You know, initially I was kind of like, well, maybe we didn't know if JPP was coming back, and so we were talking about maybe going out and getting a rush in. And then, okay, well, no, maybe don't want to do that. Not real sure, but when Minkah Fitzpatrick came available, I thought, well, what are we doing?
Well,
it's a first-round pick.
I don't know the exact numbers and implications of the JPP restructure that allows him to become a free agent this offseason. Looks like he's earning himself a paycheck in a longer-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that might have been a move to get out ahead of, you know, the trading deadline and investing in a push. The thing is that, you know, if you wanted to argue against Peters and say, where are you going this year? I understand that. But Minkah's on a rookie deal. In year two of the rookie deal.
Let's go.
So it's a move for the future. And it just was one that we didn't make. And
I'm still confounded.
It's not like Pittsburgh is this landing spot this season where he puts them over the top and they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. That's a long-term move for them as well.
Yeah, and he's made an immediate impact. He in essence, won the damn game for him last week. It's just...
Well, that and Jacoby Brissett getting hit by...
he got hurt. That's no
the guy we should have gotten a year ago, and Quentin Nelson.
Well, that I can't blame the Bucks for. We were one pick away, and the Colts recognized what we all did, which was this is a can't-miss steal. I actually wanted him... I was like of the mindset I'd move up to one if I had to get him. And I know you don't draft a guard but I'm telling you.
Well, we had a choice to go grab Minkah at the pick that we did take Vita. But
Vita's been great.
He's just got to be on the field a little bit more. You know, that's fine that you can dance on the sidelines and celebrate when your teammates do something well. But
I need you on the field more.
We could use you out there making the dances on the field after the play is made by you, sir.
By the way, I should mention, and obviously Lee did, our friends at Bill Curry Ford. You want to get shopping right now at BillCurryFord.com or at the easy-to-get-to showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Don't forget their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Mention Scuttlebucks or Joe Bucks Fan. And you don't have to say .com, I don't suppose. You could just say Joe Bucks Fan. Hey, I'm mentioning Joe Bucks Fan.
Joe Bucks Fan what? More specific, please.
Yeah, and General Manager Sean Sullivan will give you an extra special discount. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of four.
I'm sorry, sir. You had to say, what are the Scuttlebucks?
What are the Scuttlebucks? I like it. We'll come back, wrap up momentarily.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Just checking my microphone. All right, so it is Tampa Bay, Arizona. Oh, the nation awaits. Should be a beautiful day. 81 degrees, low of 65 down at Tampa, Tom.
Will it be muggy or will it be nice?
I'm going to go with muggy.
Probably.
Partly cloudy, though, is what I'm also reading. Yeah, enjoy the Arizona-Tampa Bay game. It's the first time you've seen the Bucks at home in ages.
I thought at first you were just dismissing the game in general, like, enjoy this football game. But when you put it that way, that we haven't been home since the Giants game.
We haven't been home in forever and a day. And by the way, subsequent of the Giants game that you just referenced was the league using the tape that the Bucks were able to provide as to Daniel Jones. Danny Dimes has been completely shut down, looking like the rookie quarterback that he should have looked like against Tampa Bay and would have against anybody else. What, he's now fumbled 8 times and thrown 8 interceptions since he saw the Bucs?
I think there might be one extra one in there. I saw a lower third graphic on ESPN earlier this week. It said 17 turnovers this season, tied with Jameis Winston for the league lead.
Well, remember, Jameis had a game in which he had 5 and 1. So, I mean, or was it 6 that game?
Right. But, I mean, if you want to underscore just how bad this secondary is. Okay, Jameis got a 2-game head start on Daniel Jones in the turnover department. If you want to look at it from a cynical point of view. Jameis got a 2-game head start in the turnover department, and he's had a few since he, you know, stepped foot in the NFL, as we well know. We see that every week. This guy's caught him, and that was after he played perfectly against the Bucs.
Perfectly indeed, Tom. Like he was Joe Montana. Feared nothing. He couldn't wait to make the next play, and make the next play he did, time and again.
And the next one?
And the next one, and finally the last one, which was the nail in the coffin. We're in man with our back to him, and he walks in the end zone. Yeah, man. Well, speaking of in man, we were in man all last week, and, you know, that guy is a real good player. Russell Wilson does that to a lot of people, so I'm not over the top this week with it, but, jeez.
No, your offense gave you
every opportunity to win.
Yeah.
Every opportunity to win. Your offense played well.
One thing that we will never get better at as long as this guy is here is clock management, unless he hires somebody new to
The waste of timeout, the timeout.
Well, you're talking about two different situations, like in the first segment. But you got the first half situation. It's a 50-50 head-scratcher, given that Seattle has a full complement. But at the end of the game, hey, my man, what do you think is going to happen? You could have 22 seconds left on the clock and Russell has one timeout. I still think they get in field goal range. So let's minimize the risk down from close to a minute and get it down to, you know, last play. And then go for the damn 2-point. What do you care?
Yeah, yeah, I would have gone for 2 as well.
Jesus.
I know. Yeah.
You got a chance to win the game point-blank range.
Yeah. You know, and the us Bucks fans were so downtrodden, so beat down. I think that we all would have said, I applaud you for going for 2. You won't make it. You got no chance to make it because we're the Bucks. But it's the right play. Just make the right play.
Well, it's like the backwards logic that used to be common logic, quote-unquote, in Dungy's days, which was 4th and goal from the 1. Take the points. You know why? Because I trust my defense. No.
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 No, no, no.
Jerk blank. You know what? Trust your defense by going for it, and if you don't get it,
they're at the one-yard line. Right. Yeah. Reminds me of Narduzzi with Pitt.
Yeah, that was the Penn State game.
What the hell are they
number 4 Penn State, apparently.
You're at the 1-yard line, my man. I trust my defense. What? It's crazy, man. These guys make a ton of money, and they know an awful lot about football, more than we do. Yep, more than we do, more than us as fans, more than the observers and the commentators, sure. But one thing they don't know more than us about, without question, I'm talking about all the fans who watch these games, and I'm talking about you and me, and countless others that watch these games. They don't understand clock management. They don't understand how to use their timeouts. They don't understand replay. When to challenge and when not to challenge. They just absolutely butcher these situations every Sunday.
Well, and he didn't understand which side of the ball was playing better on Sunday. I'm sorry. The evidence says that the offense by far, I mean, listen, do I even have to say that the offense outplayed the defense on Sunday?
Well, that's every
Sunday. But that's the way he governed the end of the game. Oh, that's okay. My defense against Russell Wilson, who has timeouts and, you know,
it took two
over
plays.
40 seconds.
It took 2 plays.
Get the hell out of here with that. What is that logic? It's not logic.
2 plays. I mean, good God, guys.
So we're going to have to overcome him, even when we, you know, square things up on the defensive side of the ball. Like I said earlier in the season, maybe it's just time has passed him by, you know, the ability to make a quick decision and make the right decision, and he needs to outsource that too, like he's outsourcing everything else. It needs to be the proverbial golf cart. But how is his 1-score record so good entering this season with the way that we've seen him manage the clock? And
what it has to be, Tom, if you're going to mismanage the clock and end-of-game situations and timeouts and all that other stuff, and you're going to do it every week, well, then all the other facets of your team better be well put together. You better be a well-run machine in every other area. And you say, well, okay, I mean, he's got a weakness. Every coach does. That's ours. Not a good weakness, because you kind of need to know how to handle those situations, but we're really, really much improved here, 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 and here. You'd live with it.
Yeah.
But, man, that's secondary every freaking week.
Well, again, I'll go back to this, too. We are limited. We're young. There are things that you could have fallen back on if you said them earlier in the year, yeah. But he chose to say retool. I'm done with coaches and my college and pro life saying a retool and not a rebuild. It's a damn rebuild. Just say it.
Say
please.
It.
Please. Yeah. Spare me from wanting to throw things in my own house.
Well, don't tell people things are fixed either.
Totally fixed.
Don't say that the secondary is totally fixed. Don't do that. Go now, on. Listen, I get it. You're trying to boost their confidence or whatever. Don't do that. Stop doing that.
Get into my Bruce character. Oh, it's totally fixed.
Yeah.
It's not, exactly how he said it. Yeah. We're totally fixed.
It's not totally fixed, Bruce. They can't guard anybody.
If we could defend the way you enunciate words, we'd be world beaters, my brother.
Do you think the Bucks get their third win of the year?
I think if they get a win this week, they might go on a little bit of a run in the next five games.
You dare say a tear?
Now, I don't expect, obviously, us to beat the Saints, but I think you can go 3-2 in your next five if you win this Sunday.
Well, you're not going to beat the Colts on the road, right?
That's in Tampa.
Oh, well, that's in Tampa. You're correct.
You got a chance. The Colts are finding ways to lose. I mean, they were a cool story for 5-6 weeks, and they're better than we are. Don't get me wrong, but it is the NFL, and you know their margin for error is not quite the same as it is with Andrew Luck at quarterback.
No, Brissett will tear us apart. It's our secondary.
Well, they all do.
I know it's our secondary. Oh man!
Except for Cam Newton. Too bad he's not playing us.
Oh,
every week.
I was so mad when they announced it in the second game when he wasn't. I was like, damn it!
We start out with a pick. I mean, Jesus.
I'm still angry. All right, there you go. There's another really rousing edition of the Scuttlebucks. I mean, hey, listen, we're not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're really excited about what's happening in Tampa.
Yeah, but I'm curious to see how we play it this weekend because, you know, Kyler and Russell have similar skill sets in that you have to protect against the run.
Yeah.
But he's more aggressive because he's earlier in his development to tuck it and run. So yeah. how do we look? Do we maintain rush lanes instead of getting after the quarterback?
Oh, I think you're going to do that exactly.
Well, but you juxtapose that against Bowles' propensity to pressure. So he almost has to go completely against his personality.
I like the idea of pressuring because I think you can fluster him into mistakes, but you do not want man behind it and let that guy run free. That's all we run. It is all we run these days. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks so much for listening to the Scuttlebucks.